Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect film contributor Dave Lurson usually joins us to talk about new movies opening at a theater near you. But he and our Dan Harmon decided to mix it up a bit this month. People who came of age in the 1980s often think back fondly on those days of skinny knit ties, shoulder pads, and Brat Pack movies. It is a period that people coming of age today might think of as, well, 30 years ago. But beyond the iconic films of that era, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Beverly Hills Cop, Pretty in Pink, and even Ghostbusters, there are many 1980s movies that are under the radar today. So if you're looking for a nostalgic glance back at the decade, or if you're just curious for a view of the 80s you have never seen before, Dan and Dave each brought five suggestions to the table. Dave Lurson starts us off.
Well, I'll begin with River's Edge, a 1986 American drama directed by Tim Hunter, who has surfaced more recently directing episodes of Breaking Bad. This movie starred, a couple of people who became much better known, Crispin Glover, Keanu Reeves. It was one of those comeback Dennis Hopper movies where he played the grisly, half-crazed relic of the counterculture. A remarkable film. It came out recently on Blu-ray. I was halfway through the movie before I realized I saw this movie when it was out, and I really liked it a lot. There was just this crazy scene in the middle of the movie that suddenly struck me, like, yeah, boy, I remember that. Then I remembered other things from the movie. I hadn't thought about it in decades, but it is a great rediscovery for me.
And if you like that movie, or if you like Keanu Reeves, I think an interesting movie to watch, because before he hit it big, he was in a lot of far lesser known movies. And one of them is The Night Before, which is a lot of movies in the 80s were kind of this comedy of errors, or they took place in one crazy night. So this is one of those movies that he was in. You probably have never seen that one.
I've never seen that one either.
Just as a follow-up to that, if you like Keanu Reeves movies. Okay, well, I think we'll go one for one here. So on my list, and I'm just noticing a lot of my movies are the kind of teen comedy or
genre. I thought about that. Nowadays, you and I think of ourselves as co-generation. This is probably people from the 80s and so on. But I suspect that maybe I'm 5 years older than you. And when you're 20 and 15, mm-hmm. there's a chasm that cannot be bridged very mm-hmm. easily. So I think that accounts for some of the differences in our list. I was at the Oriental Theater all the time, and you were at the multiplex watching John Hughes movies.
Well, and also, I found that people that are younger than both of us are there is sort of an interest in either the music from the era and film because, of course, some people weren't even alive then, so they're looking for a little window into the past. So one of the ones I thought was fun in that teen genre is Just One of the Guys. And in the 80s, there were a lot of movies that were not quite gender bender, but it was either men dressing up as women for whatever reason, like Victor Victoria, or the opposite. So this is one of the earlier ones that had that going on. I don't know if you've seen this one either.
No. Okay. I missed that one.
Not a cinematic. Again, these are not necessarily cinematic, like the epitome of it. Just fun movies.
Yeah.
All right. And what's next on your list?
Well, speaking of fun movies, Blue Velvet.
I think a lot of people have heard of it. I don't know if everyone's seen it.
Yeah, it is certainly, I think, the definition of cult movie in the sense that it had a small, avid following at the time. It was generally attacked by the mainstream press and mainstream audiences stayed away, but it has a growing audience over the years. It's David Lynch, probably one of his signature films. Again, Dennis Hopper playing an insane relic of a previous era. It is an extremely strange look at the dark underside of small-town American life, where when you get below the surfaces, there are things that you'd rather not see.
And this movie was not really all that well received when it came out. It's become kind of a cult film.
Exactly. Yeah. There are many movies that it takes time for the audiences to find them. There's so much of an emphasis, and this was beginning already in the 80s with opening weekend box office figures, and something has to do extremely well right away, or it's a failure. But really, a lot of important movies over the past, it took many, 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 many months for 2001: A Space Odyssey to become a box office hit. You know, people need some time to absorb things.
Well, in this case, 30 years or more. Mm-hmm. All right. And just to counteract my thing I have for, I guess, these teen dramas from the 80s is one that I know you've seen, and My Beautiful Laundrette. It's one of the first movies you could see Daniel Day-Lewis in.
Yes, yeah. That was true. That was the one on your list that I saw. It was at the Oriental Theater, so I saw just about everything that came through there in those days. That was always my date night activity, going to the Oriental Theater or the Downer. So, yeah, My Beautiful Laundrette was a fine movie. I think the only non-American film on your list.
No, I have one more.
You have one more, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, British movie dealing with all kinds of issues, ethnicity and sexual preference and all sorts of things that we maybe take a little more for granted as topics nowadays that were less common at that time.
But it handled it in a way that was much more nuanced. Nothing really hit you over the head with any of these messages, if there even was a message.
Well, no. Right. And I think that's the more effective way to do things in the long run, in many cases at least, that a thought is planted, the seed is nurtured and grows.
All right. So I recommend that one just because it's different than a lot of what you would see during the 80s. It's definitely not a teen drama. It's not a blockbuster. It's not Ghostbusters. It's actually a much more kind of people-oriented movie from the era.
Right.
And next on your list, I know we've both seen this one.
Yeah, people-oriented, The Lost Boys. was a really good kind of teenage vampire film. Two boys from a broken family moving to a new town and encounter a gang of their peers. They are bullies, of course, but they also happen to be vampires. So it was a very good metaphor, I think, for the problems of teenage life and the rites of passage that most of us are stuck with going through.
And among the more kind of fun or slash funny vampire movies.
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely an element of humor and fun there, but there was also an element of seriousness to it, too. I think it balanced it very well.
Right. And a lot of big-name actors in this movie. Yeah, it's not a small production.
No, it was not a small production. It was not a hit. I mean, Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, all kinds of people, you know, that became big later on or bigger later on.
The Corys.
Yeah, right. But I don't believe it was a hit at the time. It's one of these movies that every now and then I mention it among, you know, I really like that movie. And, oh, yeah, I do too. I mean, so I think it struck that deep kind of cult movie chord in many people.
All right. And on my list, I'm going back to the teen romance movie because I have a feeling not many people have seen this movie. And I didn't actually see it until last year. I just saw it online and I'm like, oh, okay. Because it has John Cryer. And there was a period in the 80s where he was just – he had to be in a movie. You know, he had to be in Pretty in Pink. You know, I mean, like, he was one of the stars of the era.
The go-to guys of the era.
And this was an earlier one. It's called No Small Affair, which he co-stars in with Demi Moore. And it's set in San Francisco, kind of a typical comedy of errors thing. But it's fun to see San Francisco in a movie in the 80s. And it's not really a set location. You know, like everything was in L.A.
Right.
And
it's a beautiful city for film and television, and pity it hasn't been used more often.
Right. So if you're looking for some 80s nostalgia and you think you've seen everything from the 80s, I think No Small Affair might, fit your fix.
Well, speaking of Los Angeles, my next movie is set in the Los Angeles, I think of the year 2019, which I guess they were, I might be off by a year or two, but they were really thinking that time would move more quickly, I guess. It's sort of a semi-post-apocalyptic Los Angeles, it's always raining there. It's Blade Runner, and it's a world in which there are replicants, genetically engineered replications of human beings that sometimes get out of hand. And Harrison Ford was delegated to try to dispose of some of these creatures. It's a movie that again has become much admired in retrospect as being one of the great films of the 20th century. And very few people at the time it came out went out to see it.
Okay. Do you think that – did you watch it before our interview today?
No.
Okay.
I saw it a few years ago last time.
I'm always curious about movies that are set in the future, but they were filmed 30 years ago. So and then you come back – like Star Trek, you know, you go back and watch it and you're like, oh, that looks dated.
Well, the twist with Blade Runner was that this was maybe the beginning of retrofuturism, the idea that as we move into the future – there will always be these sort of revivals of past things anyway, and that otherwise elements of the past will continue to endure even in ruinous form. So this movie, it looks like a kind of a hodgepodge of eras, but that's actually, you know, the way we live right now, with elements of different historical periods influencing the way we dress and the furniture we sit on and the rooms we live in. And that movie caught that. The only thing wrong with the futurism, I think, is the timeline of it, that we're only a couple of years away from Blade Runner right now, and that seems a little odd.
All right. The last movie on my list is the other English one that you referred to earlier. It's called The Rachel Papers, and I would be shocked if more than like three people have seen this movie.
No, I'm not one of those three.
All right. I mean, I don't know if it was ever really released here. Very obscure, but it's interesting that it's one of the first movies you can see James Spader in. Mm-hmm. He's a minor role in this movie. Dexter Fletcher is the kind of the main character. But yeah, another teen romance, you know, the guy looking for the girl, and comedy ensues. So it's kind of a fun movie if you're, again, looking for something that you haven't seen from that era, but you'll recognize a lot of the visual cues and the kind of the cultural references if you see it.
Okay.
All right. And last on your list, I've never seen it.
Slam Dance. Yeah. That movie really came and went and sank without a trace. Tom Hulce, who was briefly, you know, a big star because of his role as Mozart in Amadeus, this was, I believe, his follow-up film. And he starred as it's a kind of a neo-noir movie with the man in the wrong running from the criminals, running from the cops, set, you know, in part in the whole sort of like punk rock club scene to a degree of that era. I loved it so much. I think I saw it twice in one day when it came out. And, you know, I talk about this movie and nobody knows what I'm talking about. It really didn't make any impression on very many people.
Going to have to check it out. I mean, it came out in 87, which was, you know, many years after slam dancing actually was a thing. So was it set in the punk era?
Well,
or was it lingering?
Where did slam dancing, you know, transmute into body surfing and other kinds of things? So it was sort of, you know, I mean, maybe in a certain sense, it was like a year behind the curve on what was going on currently.
All right. So we're going to put this list on our website. If you're looking for some movies that will help you with your nostalgia kind of desires right now.
We all need help with that.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor for the Shepherd Express newspaper, author of its I Hate Hollywood blog, and our regular film contributor. He spoke with Dan Harmon. One last break, and then we'll switch back to the stage, or not really the stage, but a unique live performance opening this evening in the Third Ward. We'll learn about MKE Carey's when Lake Effect continues on WUWM.